Each and every one. Thank you. All right. So good morning as we are admitting people into the room. Thank you. Thank you for joining. All right. Praise God. So we have a treat today. We have Prophet Andrea, who's going to be teaching on this morning. And I'm super excited about the message that she'll be bringing forth. And I just want to welcome you. So what she's going to do is she's going to take over momentarily, and we're going to get started. If you have questions, please put them in the chat as we do every week, and we will answer you if we can today. And if not, we will answer you during Bible study. Again, so thank you all for joining us. God bless, and we are looking forward to this morning. Praise God. All right, so Prophet Andrea, please go ahead.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. I'm
gonna go ahead and share my screen.
Oh, and I got to start out with prayer also. I'm sorry, I forgot, but I just wanted to make sure everybody was in. You want me to start out with prayer, Prophet?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay, so Father God, we just honor you, first of all. We just thank you, and we just praise you for your majesty, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we just come before you, honoring you on this morning. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are going to flow through us on today as we teach and minister to your people. We ask that you touch every heart. We ask that you touch, Father God, the minds of the people and open their eyes and their ears so that they may hear and see what it is that you want them to gather on today. I lift up my sister, Prophet Andrea, to you. I thank you, Father God, for the authority and the power that you are going to have flowing through her on this morning and this afternoon. Lord, we lift up our leader, Apostle Teresa Harvard Johnson, and we thank you, Father God, for this time, Father God, of reflection and ministry for her, Father God, for this time of regrouping and recalibrating, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for the sure word that you placed on the inside of her belly, oh God. Now we lift up each and every person that is under the sound of our voices. And we ask, Father, that you comfort those during this time, for we know many have experienced loss during this season. We ask that you comfort them, Lord. We ask that you just help them and walk them through this season, Father. We thank you for your healing power for those who are experiencing illnesses and sicknesses right now. We decree and we declare wholeness. We decree and we declare healing. And we just thank you. We speak life over each and every one of them, Lord. Lord, we pray for the mental stability of those, Father God, who are experiencing downtimes during shutdowns and lockdowns due to the COVID-19. Lord, we just ask that you just lift their spirits and be the lifter of their heads. And now we just thank you for sanctifying this word and, Father God, for allowing it to stay with us in our spirits, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise for what you're going to do on today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Praise God. All right, Prophet, you are, let me unmute. Hold on.
Share my screen. Got it? Here.
Okay, here you go. All right, so Prophet Andrea is going to go forth, and God bless you all. Thank you all for joining.
Okay. Actually, hold on. That's not, yeah, bear with me. Okay, share screen. Here we go. And you all can see the screen, okay? Okay. All right, so I am going to, let me see if I could do this, because I don't want to see all of that. All right, so Prophet LA has already extended the welcome and good morning. I am honored to be here this morning to teach for Sunday service. I am a little nervous, so you guys, you know, work with me. I know people say, don't tell people that, but, you know, we need to be honest. So, but God is in control, so I thank him for his patience with me. I appreciate and want to thank Apostle Teresa for entrusting this assignment to me this morning. And I want to thank my sister, Prophet L.A. Holtz, for joining me and assisting me with this teaching this morning. So I might repeat a few things that she said, but just, you know, I want to make sure that I cover everything. So you might see me look down at my notes a little bit, just to make sure that I'm keeping pace with what everything that needs to be mentioned. So welcome. Okay, what do we have going on now? Please don't tell me I'm having technical difficulties. There we go. All right. All right. So good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's good to see your beautiful names. I don't see anybody else's face right now other than Prophet L.A. So just glad that you all are here with us for our Sunday service. And like Prophet L.A. said, on behalf of Apostle Teresa and the Scribal Conservatory, as well as the School of the Scribe, we want to thank you for joining us on today. We don't take your attendance for granted. We don't take it lightly. We do understand that you could be doing other things, but the fact that you joined us today speaks volumes to you all trusting the Christ in Apostle Teresa and her team and the members of the Scribal Conservatory. And so we thank you for that. We want you to know that we see you, we acknowledge you, we appreciate you, and we love you. And so thank you for being with us today. For those who don't know me, I am Prophet Andrea Renfro. I am a member of the Scribal Conservatory, and I also serve as one of the educators on the teaching team for the School of the Scribe. And I have the honor of serving alongside a lot of phenomenal educators as well. And you all are familiar with some of them from the Scribal Advances, from participating in some of the Bible studies and other things that we all have done. So that's who I am. And so we're going to move on. We always try to start our teachings and messages with a copyright notification, so you'll understand that the material that we are teaching doesn't belong to anyone else. These are original teachings, and if you see any images or scriptures, they are presented with attribution to where they come from or where they were purchased from. And personally, I always like to add a disclaimer to anything that I teach, because I need people to understand that I am not a doctor, a lawyer, a counselor, or a therapist. Everything that I teach comes from my personal study of the Word of God, my own life experience, my encounters with the Lord, and my education certifications, my personal research, and or discussions with subject matter experts. So the Scribal Conservatory, this is just an overview that we typically do each Sunday. And I'm going to read this very quickly. A lot of you who are here have been here before, so you're familiar with this. This is more so for those who have never joined us. So the Scribal Conservatory is Arts and Worship Center is a safe place to explore, activate, refine, and demonstrate your gifts and talents in the Lord while being immersed in the reality of Christ. I want to foot stomp that. While being immersed in the reality of Christ, we fully understand the journey of the worshiper and artisan and are here to empower believers in walking out their purpose and destiny in Christ, not in themselves, not in others, but in Christ. So what is a conservatory or a conservator? A conservatory is a college or university of study, and a conservator is a guardian or a protector of a specific body of knowledge or work. As conservators, we protect the vision, mission, and purpose of the conservatory to transform nations, to reinforce covenant, to increase understanding, and to elevate Christ above men. Now, the question is, well, what are we protecting? And we talked about that just a second ago. But here you see they are outlined, all four outlined with related scripture, so you'll understand what we're protecting. So those scriptures are there for you to look at and at a later time. But I do want to highlight the last bullet the last two, really, elevating Christ above it, and that, because that's definitely what we need to do. But the last bullet, increasing in understanding, helps us to know how to elevate Christ above men. And there is a particular teaching that Apostle Teresa did that you can find on YouTube under the Scribe School's page about understanding. So you'll get some great insight there if you check that out. So at the end of the day, we are embracing immersion as our roots grow deep in Him. All right, so the Scriber Conservatory is based in Atlanta, Georgia, and we, as we do every week, we encourage you to join us. Right now with COVID going on, all of the meetings are being held virtually, and so join us online and continue to do that until you hear otherwise about meeting in person, but that's how we're meeting right now. This is the information for the Scriber Conservatory. You can annotate that for reference. Just a quick announcement for the Scriber Conservatory's Bible study is held on Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. The teachings that have been going forward on Sundays and on Tuesday evenings have been phenomenal. I don't know if you've been able to join us, but I mean, we are going higher. Apostle Teresa is going higher, and she's taking us with her. So this coming Tuesday, she'll be continuing the teaching on false prophecy, and from what I hear, it's going to be fire. So please make sure you tune in if you can. And just real quick on giving an offering, this is the information for that. If you'd like to give to the ministry directly, that information is there. If you'd like to sow into Apostle Teresa personally, that information is there for you as well. There's Cash App and PayPal. And this information will be posted periodically throughout the message this morning. All right, so let's get into the lesson. So I don't know if you all remember, there's been some instances where Apostle Teresa has talked extensively about or referred to revealing Christ. She's referred to it with questions. You've heard her say, how are you revealing Christ? Or how does this behavior or this conduct reveal Christ? So that is what we're going to do. Prophet LA and I are, for the next three Sundays, we're going to be staying and remaining in that stream. So we'll be teaching from that place in our unique ways. So we want to stay right there, because there is a lot there, and we want to ensure that we have what we need to properly reflect and reveal Christ in the earth. And so the subtitle of this message is called The Exchange. So I'm excited about this message. It's very weighty, and we could never get to the end of this. So I'm just going to give you what I have for now. Revealing Christ isn't just a cliche or something that we spout off to appear and sound like we are in the know or to attempt to stay relevant. When we say revealing Christ, it truly is a declaration birthed from a genuine desire to see Christ and His kingdom manifested in our daily lives in the areas of influence, not just in church buildings and not traditional settings. Where we highly esteem them for religious events and conduct. Revealing Christ transcends mere words and is more than simply doing things. It is about understanding who Christ is first. You got to understand who He is before you can reveal Him. And then we need to understand how to access all that He is, seeing that He is resident within us. And then we move to the place of actually revealing Him. So those are the things that we're going to talk about. I'm really going to delve into understanding who He is. And so the subsequent lessons or messages are going to bring us into actually doing and being and revealing. And all of this, I need to say that all of that I just talked about is if we cannot do that. We cannot reveal Christ. We can't understand anything without a change of mindset. So that's what I mean by the exchange. We have to exchange where we are, what we know, and what we have for what God has brought to us. So our foundational scripture today is going to be Colossians 1, 26 through 27. And I know you all are very familiar with this scripture. So that's where we'll be coming from. So COVID-19, racial injustice and tensions, social unrest, political upheaval, and dramatic climate changes and all of that stuff has been instrumental, in my opinion, in revealing and exposing the hearts of men in terms of where we stand with God, in terms of where we stand with ourselves, our family, and with others. And so in navigating all this, I believe that we're in a time that is very distinct for our generation and for generations to come for various reasons. We have people that are losing jobs. We have isolation that has had a huge bearing on the mental health of many who are alone and restricted from gathering as normal. People aren't as free to go about as, you know, we were in times past. Because of the isolation and the closed quarters, a lot of people are in conflict now because they cannot run away from family members. They have to face family members. They have to sit down long enough to be with themselves to really see where they are, where they stand, and what they believe. They are forced to really face themselves, face others, and they can no longer overlook or sidestep things that they have been able to in times past. So also the education landscape has been changing drastically. There are teachers who are resigning, you know, in large numbers because they just can't. It's too much to try to handle. Trying to navigate the education landscape with the children, with the technology, and even with the parents. Then you have parents who, you know, they're having trouble trying to understand the technology as well. Then you have parents who have multiple children who, you know, they're at different education levels. So parents are stressed out as well. So you have all of that. And then you have death. A lot of people have faced death in the midst of all of this. And I wouldn't, in some cases it's COVID, in some cases it's other things, but death is very tragic. It's traumatic and it's very hard to navigate and grievous. So all of these things are very hard to process. Okay. You know, we can't overlook that this is our natural reality. So these are things that we are facing. And although on the surface, these things are very traumatic, very hard to process, I just want to introduce to you and remind you of a different perspective. I know it's negative. I know all these things are happening, but I want to herald and proclaim that there is some good that is going on in the midst of all of this negative stuff that is happening today. And I want to start by saying that we are in the midst of perfect conditions to reveal Christ. We are in the midst of perfect conditions to reveal Christ. So I just wanted to set that down before I get into the main portion of the message. So I'm going to share several scriptures today, but again, Colossians 1, 26 and 27 is our foundational text. Do you want to go ahead and read that, Prophet LA?
Yes. Even in the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Now, I don't know about you all, but that scripture is something else. Every time I read that scripture, I get excited. Joy comes. There's a lot of times I don't know how to express myself because it's just that good. Okay. It's just that weighty. It's just that rich. So we're going to delve into this scripture a little bit as we build to actually revealing Christ. Okay. So in the book of Colossians, we know that Paul was in prison at the time in Rome, and he received a report from Ephesus. I believe that I'm pronouncing his name right. But he was the one that is that allegedly began the church there at Colossae. And so he reported back to Paul to let him know what the, you know, what, how the people were doing and what the conditions were. So some of the conditions included things like the legalistic practices of Judaism still being, you know, trying to overshadow the gospel, some of the Gentile practices and philosophies. They were trying to, you know, incorporate all those things into the gospel. And so that all of that information Paul took and used to as a reason to write this letter to them, to let them know, listen, I need to reinforce the gospel. I need to reinforce who Christ is so that you will be well equipped and well armed against all of the things that are trying to come to belittle the gospel, to do away with the gospel, and to dilute the gospel. So that was the purpose for this letter to the church there. And so as Paul typically does, and I love his pattern of writing and ministering to the churches, he greets them, he exhorts them, he encourages them, and then he proceeds to reinforce Christ with power, with wisdom, with strategy, and with vigor. That's always his pattern. And so I love how he reveals Christ by doing these things concerning, you know, speaking to the various churches and congregations. So I was going to go ahead and read Colossians 12 through 27, but I'm not going to do that. You all have your Bible prayerfully, as Apostle Teresa has said, we need to have our physical Bibles. I don't know if you can see this. We need to have our physical Bibles so that we can do some real study. But when you have a chance, go back and read, just read the entire book of Colossians, but read chapter one and really meditate on what you see there. You'll see Paul's pattern as he's building them up to reinforce Christ so that they can really understand that he resides on the inside of them. Okay. So here in verse 27, we see that God intentionally concealed Christ for generations and intentionally chose to reveal him at the appointed time. So it was necessary that God did this. He had a purpose behind it. So this mystery that the scripture speaks of is explained in simple terms, is that God placed himself. Come on now. He placed himself on the inside of us through the person of Christ, his only begotten son, who is the assurance of the promise for and the admittance to God and all that he is. Let me read that again, because see, I got excited while I was getting this message together. And as you can see, I'm trying to be calm, but I get excited about the word of God. But let me read that again. This mystery that is presented here by Paul is simply explained like this. According to my understanding, God placed himself, he intentionally placed himself in us through the person of Christ, his only begotten son, who is the assurance of the promise for and the admittance to God and all that he is and all that he has. Okay. There's an appointed time for the unveiling of things, and this particular unveiling requires our participation. Okay. It reminds me of Proverbs 25:2, where it says it is the glory of the king to conceal a matter. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search it out. Okay. Just take a note of that particular scripture. So there's an appointed time for the for the veiling and the unveiling, but it all requires our participation. Although God can do everything, he's not going to do everything. He wants us to participate in his plan. Okay. So in his plan and in the giving of Christ on the inside of us, in giving himself to us, it's as if he's given us a gift, and there is an expectation from him that we reach out and we receive the gift. And not just to receive it and look at it, you know, to just admire the trappings. there is an expectation of us from God that we receive the gift and then we unwrap the gift, okay? We have to unwrap the gift. And not only do we unwrap the gift, we have to start using the gift, right? I mean, is this making sense? Because there's no point in receiving something that you're not going to use. Because there's going to be misuse, there's going to be abuse, there's going to be all these different things. But God expects us to take the gift and use the gift. First of all, recognize that we have the gift on the inside of us, okay? So God provides the gift. He is looking for us to unwrap it, to unearth it, to discover it, to become aware of it, and to use it, to wear it, and to reflect it, okay? So, but we can't really do any of that until we dig a bit deeper to really understand what God is saying here, right? So most references, and you know what? Take a moment, because I want you to do this. If you have pen and paper, I want you to just jot down really quickly what comes to your mind when we use the word glory, the glory of God. What do you think about? I'm sure most of you are going to write brilliance and his splendor and, you know, his weight and all these things, which are all great. But I want you to write down what you, you know, what you believe, what you understand to be the glory of God. And we'll get back to that. So keep it somewhere where you can reference it. So most references to God's glory in the Old Testament, in the King James Version, are typically synonymous with honor, with majesty, with brilliance, splendor, radiance, brightness, weight, the heaviness. We see in conjunction with those words, we typically are going to see words like appeared or shown or showed. God showed his glory. Moses's face shone. It was brilliant because he had been in God's glory. So all of those references are typically used in occurrences that indicate external manifestations of the glory of God. Okay. Temporal, it's outside of them. All of this is happening outside of them in the New Testament. We can look at Exodus 16 and 10. So you can write that down, where God's glory appeared in a cloud. You can write down Exodus chapter 34. And that's what I just talked about. Moses's face shining brightly because he had been in God's presence. We can even talk about 2 Chronicles 5 and 14, where the priest couldn't even stand because of what? Because of the weight of God's presence, right? So all of most of those references in the Old Testament were referring to God's presence, his brilliance, so on and so forth, in terms of outward or external manifestations. So when we move out of the Old Testament and we move into the New Testament, into the gospel of Jesus Christ, we begin to see the use of the word glory, which is about 90% of the use of this word in the New Testament. It also, not only does it include elements from the Old Testament, it also includes and highlights a component that I believe a lot of us have overlooked. And it just blew my mind. So we're going to get into what that means. So glory, the word glory in the New Testament in Greek is doxa, D-O-X-A. And it means opinion, judgment, viewpoint, your estimation. It also means I talked about opinion. It means what you think. It means your thoughts. It also means your condition. And we know what condition means. That's the state that something is in. That's the circumstances that are impacting or affecting your situation. Okay. So I can't see you right now, but I want you to, I don't know, on your screen, Prophet LA can see it. Raise your hand if you knew that already. If you ever consider that glory also includes God's thought, God's opinions, God's judgment, God's viewpoint, His mindset. Come on, somebody. His mindset is synonymous with his glory. Now, when we think about it, that makes perfect sense. Because doesn't it make sense that God's mind would usher in his presence? Doesn't it make sense that God's presence would usher in his mind? Right? That makes sense. But have we ever thought about it in those terms? Most times we always revert back to the Old Testament manifestation of God's glory, and we don't consider that it's more than just the outside. It's about what's taking place on the inside of us. What resides on board? Come on now. What's inside? What is taking residence up in us? Not just his brilliance, but come on, his mindset, his strategy. That's on the inside of us, which equates to what? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. So all of the 90% of the references to glory in the New Testament refer to God's mindset. It doesn't disqualify any of what happened in the Old Testament and what the references were. They all still come, they convert over, for lack of better words. They're still there, they're still intact, and they're still relevant. But we have to remember now that Christ came, Jesus came, he died, he rose with all power in his hands. Now we don't have to just wait for the presence of God to descend. We don't have to wait for something external to happen. We don't have to wait for the priest to do this, that, and the third for us to access God. We have God on the inside of us. We have access to him right now. And access to him includes his mind, his wisdom, and his strategy. All right, so with this additional information that we have, and I just, it's too much to try to go into because I want to make sure I honor the time here. Let's go back to Colossians. So remember in verses 26 and 27, Paul greets, he exhorts, and he encourages the congregation, and then he reinforces who Christ is. And the scripture is there for you to read. But as mentioned earlier, God intentionally concealed Christ for generations and chose to allow his unveiling to all, not just to some, but to all. God said, it is time for me to reveal myself to everyone, to give everyone access to me. That is phenomenal because, you know, a lot of times, even today, seeing that Jesus has paid it all and done it all, there's nothing else that anybody can do. People still think it's just about a certain group of people. People still believe that it's just about the Jews, or it's just about this group, this denomination, or people who look this way or look that way, or who have this view or that view. No, God said, I sent Christ to reside on the inside of you so that everybody could have access. Everyone could have access. So again, him being on the inside of us is the assurance of, the promise for, and the admittance to God and all that he is. Now, before we can reveal Christ, We must reckon that he is in us. We read it, we talk about it, we shout about it, we write about it, we make all this art to declare it. We do all these things. But my question to you is, do you really believe that he is in you? Come on now. Do you really believe and know that he's in you? Because when you know something, when you have command of something, when you have mastered something, and when you truly believe something, the subsequent actions, the subsequent behaviors, the subsequent thought patterns, the subsequent viewpoints, the subsequent mindset reflects that. So when we start looking at our lives and we start looking at what we've been doing, what we've been thinking, we can start seeing whether we really believe that or not. So we have to search self. We go around, and I'm off my notes at this point, okay? So we run around and we do all these religious acts. You know, we do all these things that we've been conditioned to do, whether you were raised in church or, you know, from small, or you do, whenever you joined, whenever you became part of God's family, there was a local community through which you were conditioned. Come on now. And through that conditioning, a lot of us came to these conclusions that we were elite, that we, you know, we were in these stratospheres and all this because we were better than somebody. No, the Lord said, no, we're not doing that. I've come for everybody. But in him saying that, we sidestep the reality, the truth of that. We sidestep that truth because he really is on board. He really is there, but we're not reflecting that. We're not doing that on a consistent basis. So we have to reckon that he is in us. So him being in us means the fullness of God. And so then we need to start evaluating, well, who is Christ? He's on board with us. We can look at Mark 4, 38 through 40 as a symbolic picture of what that means. You know, when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, and the storm went to going crazy and they thought they were going to die, and they went to get Jesus. He's on board. He's on board. But do we trust that? Do we trust that he's going to bring all of who he is to the table in us? Then we know he's the way, the truth, and the life. John 4 and 16. We know he's the bread of life. John 6, 35. We know he is the vine. John 15 and 1. We know he is the resurrection and the life. John 11 and 25. We know that he is the light of the world. John 8 and 12. We know he is the door. John 10 and 7. We know he is the good shepherd. John 10 and 11. We're supposed to, well, I keep saying we know, but do we know is what I'm really trying to convey. Do we really know these things? Has he shown up in your life in these ways? And have you reflected him, revealed him in these ways through your life? Just questions for you to consider. So once we really receive and accept this truth that he resides, he's on board, he's in us, for real, as my kids would say, for sure, no, for real. When we really reckon that he is in us, then we can start looking at what that means, what the weight of that is. So when we go back to Colossians 1, 26 and 27, specifically 27, and we see where it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, what is hope? We already talked about what glory was. So we working our way backwards. Glory is the mindset of God, all his brilliance, all who he is, all of that. But I want to really pinpoint mindset because that's what has to shift in us for us to really reveal Christ. So what is hope? It's an expectation. It's an anticipation. It's to be pregnant. You're waiting for something to come forth. You're waiting for there to be a breaking through. Come on now. We are waiting for glory. We're waiting for God to come in all of his fullness. That's what we're hoping for. And a lot of people use the word hope as if, well, it could happen or it might not happen. Let me tell you something. If Christ resides on the inside of you, when you use the word hope, hope is to know that he's there, to know he's coming, to know he's on board, to know he's going to show up, to know he's going to come through, to know what he said he's going to do is going to get done. Let me calm down. Let me calm down now. But this is the hope we have, that we know. Let me read it in these terms. Christ in you, Christ on board, he's in you, the expectation and the anticipation of God's mind. Come on now. when you are going through and you need strategy, I'm not talking about far-fetched stuff. I'm talking about daily going throughs, things that are going on. Look, we're in the midst of COVID and things are happening and we need to know what to do. We can know that the mind of Christ is ours to access and to know what we need to do in those times. We have the expectation and anticipation that glory comes, not from the outside. Let me go back to this picture so y'all can understand. From the inside. From the inside. People always want to refer to doors as opening out. As opening out. But this door opens in. Opens inward. For us to go deeper into the mind of Christ, deeper into the strategies that we need to navigate every day, deeper into what we need to know, to counsel, to minister to reveal who he is. Come on now. Which direction are your doors opening? Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Our expectation, our hope, our knowing. Our the weight of pregnancy is that when that what's in us is truth, it is going to come forth because of the mind of Christ. So I said, in my notes, I asked, what is hope for? We have hope knowing, anticipating, and expecting access to all that God is through Christ, namely the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. The Bible keeps telling us what we have. Do we believe it? Philippians 2:5 tells us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The Bible keeps telling us that we have God's glory, that he's there. 2 Corinthians 3:2-11 tells us that the glory of the new, the glory of the new exceeds the glory of the old. Why does it exceed? Because remember, we talked about external, temporal, all of that. It's outside of you. The reason it exceeds the old is because now everyone has access to it and it's on the inside of you. You don't need anybody else for it. You just need to accept it. Come on, somebody. So now everybody, because of God's grand plan and his strategy and his just unsearchable mind, the glory of the old is eclipsed by the glory of the new. And so now everyone has access to him by way of Christ, have access to his power, his presence, his peace, his mindset, his blueprint, his opinions, his intent, his strategy, his will, his desires, his purposes, his ways, his judgments, his principles, his concepts, his philosophy, his viewpoint, his instructions, his guidance. All of that is in you. Come on, you cannot sit still. You cannot act like you don't understand how magnificent this is. That all of that resides on the inside of you. And the Father waits in expectation. He waits in expectation that we will access all of that so that we as a people, not as Baptists, not as Pentecostals, not as, Protestants and even, not as any of that, but as the children of God, as we would come together. Now, yes, we reveal Christ individually because he resides on the inside of us. But if you study this scripture, verse 27 specifically, you'll see that it is not just personal. This is reinforcing what Apostle Teresa has been teaching. This is that he is in us corporately. So when I lock arms with you and you lock arms with me and we lock arms with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we begin to show forth the mind of Christ. We begin to show forth who God really is. We begin to give a proper picture and representation of God, not all this foolishness that we've been seeing. People have walked away from God because of the misrepresentation. People have left the faith because of the misrepresentation. People are walking around wounded, hurt, devastated because of the misrepresentation of Christ in the earth, of Christ in us. This earth first, this earth first, this earth first, and then the body earth second. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be responsible for giving a report to the Lord that I didn't represent him right. Because I'm elevating man above him. Come on now. We got to do better than this. So the disconnect between having information. You know, we have the scriptures and we done took some notes. We done been to some classes. We done watch some videos. We done listen to some sermons and messages. So we got information. But the disconnect between having the information and really truly revealing Christ is that we have failed to make an exchange. We have failed to make an exchange. We have failed to relinquish the old and grab hold to the new. We have failed to say, I take my mind, my thoughts, my desires, the things that I want, the agenda that I have, and exchange it for God's mind and all that it brings to the table. There must be an exchange. There has to be if we are ever to reveal Christ appropriately. Come on now. I'm trying to hold my peace. How I'm doing on time. Okay, I'm almost done. There must be an exchange. So listen, basically, you are exchanging inferior for superior, for low life to high life. Come on now. Not Miller High Life, but you know what I'm saying. Okay? For God's way. The Bible tells us that his ways are above our ways. So he's been telling us the whole time, and that's in Isaiah. He's been telling us the whole time, your thoughts, the way you approach this, the way you're looking at it, your viewpoint, your filter is not going to produce my intent. So I need you to access me from the inside so that you can get hold to how I need this thing walked out. See what I'm saying? So we have to make an exchange, the inferior for the superior. And listen, God is so good. Let me calm down. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 16, it reads, "So from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. According to worldly standards and values, though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him this way." The reason I wanted to bring that scripture up is this. This scripture emphatically tells us how we have been holding on to the old mindset. The old mindset is regarding everything from a human standpoint. It's reducing everything to what we can control, to what we can do in our own strength and power. But that is not the way of God. God expects us to lean and depend and rely on him. There is an expectation that we will access his mind and navigate our daily lives, not just in the church house, but while you cooking dinner for your family, while you on that job working for whomever, while you are at the place volunteering, whatever it is that you're doing in your daily, God is still there with you as a believer, because guess what? He arrived with you. He's on the inside of you. He arrived with you. So we cannot regard God, we cannot regard Christ Jesus, and we cannot regard Holy Spirit, ourselves, or one another according to the old. We can't do it. It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't produce anymore. There is a more excellent way. There's a more excellent way. So until we intentionally lay down our need to elevate creation above the creator, we will continue to sidestep God's intent. We will continue to show forth a distorted image of Christ in the earth. We will continue to misrepresent him. It is imperative that we decide to embrace, acknowledge, and understand that we have God in all of his fullness in us through the person of Jesus Christ, and that we do according to the mind of Christ. We got to decide and do. Come on, y'all. No need to have the information if we're not going to do anything with it. No need to receive the gift if we're not going to unwrap it and use it and adorn it. That we got to let go of the inferior for the superior, the low for the high, the temporal for the eternal. So I have so many more notes. I'm really been trying to keep myself calm, but the word of God just takes me to a place where I get excited. So I apologize for getting too crazy, but I want you to go back to what I asked you to write down about what came to your mind when we use the word glory. And my question is, did you ever consider that his glory actually means his mind too, the mind of Christ? Did you ever consider it? And I also want you to consider these things, because I'm running out of time here. Now that we understand some things a little better, how do you see the following scriptures? How do you see the foundational scripture that you see on the screen, Colossians 1:26-27? How do you see 2 Corinthians 4:4-7? How do you see 2 Corinthians 3:18? And how do you see Matthew 13:44? So some of those are talking about the treasure within. The treasure is Christ, the mind of Christ, so on and so forth. But really quickly, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Listen, what does the word say? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The scripture is emphatically telling us right here that we have to exchange the old. We have to release it in order to ascend to the higher level of glory that the Lord is showing us, that he wants to take us to. So I just want you don't have to say anything to me, but for your own self-evaluation, how do you see these scriptures now? Now, when you start seeing glory in the scripture, I want you to remember what we've been overlooking, so that when you begin to walk things out and really reveal Christ, you'll better understand what's happening. You'll be better equipped to do that appropriately. So let me see. I'll just read this. For your own understanding and growth, and in preparation for subsequent messages, I beseech you to study the glory of God in terms of what you learned today, because his glory includes his mind. Look at how Paul talks about conduct, character, all of which stems from the mind where thoughts and decisions reside. Examine yourself to determine if you have truly made an exchange. If you have really laid down yourself and others and picked up Christ, and if you truly have, then revealing Christ will happen by default. It will happen by default. So if we're not seeing the image and likeness of God, we can go back and know that it stems from the fact that we have not relinquished the old to embrace the new. So that's all I'm going to share today. I am going to, let me see, hold on a minute. Oh, I had this picture. I forgot I even had it. This is a picture that represents a lot of different things, but it, for me and with this message, it is talking about an exchange. It is talking about also talking about agreement, that we're coming into agreement with what God has said and what God has given and what God intends. I also, this picture also represents what happens. Come on, somebody. What happens when we do agree with God? Heaven can come to earth uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. We can reveal Christ uninterrupted. Do you see that it's like a chain link? If there is no agreement, if the hands fall away, there is an interruption. But if we stay in agreement with God, in alignment with God, in a place of, in a condition of embracing everything he has said is truth, then we will be able to reveal Christ. So I'm done. Let me stop sharing my screen. And if anybody has any questions or comments, I think you're muted, Prophet LA.
Praise God. That was awesome.
So, praise God. Thank you guys for bearing with me. Does anybody have questions?
Yes, you've got questions. Please either unmute or type in here. And while we're waiting on questions, please don't forget to sow your seeds. Those of you who are a part of the Scribal Conservatory specifically, and those who would like to gift and sow into Apostles' life, Veruva has put the information in the chat. So please look at that, paypal.me/ Teresa, wait, where is it? Yes, T. Harvard Johnson. Excuse me, T. Harvard Johnson. A new cash app, Scribal Commanders with an S. Don't forget the dollar sign. Or PayPal. And then it's one more, but please look at that. Praise God. Great message. Okay, so everybody is was really excited about the message, Prophet Andrea, and the actual message. Yeah. Of embracing. So everybody's saying thank you, praise God. A lot of people were echoing what you were saying as well in the chat. If you have any comments, please raise your hand or unmute yourselves. We have a few more moments. And for those of you who didn't get to see the entire message, it is being recorded. So Apostle will post it at some point for you to get it. We're going to continue in this vein next week. This was eye-opening, Prophet Andrea. This is Deborah Poole. Bless you. Great message. Thank you. Thank you for these words this morning. Changes the glory of God was here. Praise God. Right. A shift in perspective, in agreement, in alignment, linked. Yes, I really like that last picture, too, because it was a great visual. Amen. of alignment, and man, that was so powerful. Well, everything was so powerful, but I love the part, heaven can come to earth uninterrupted when you stay in agreement and in alignment with God. That was just awesome. Praise God. This was eye-opening. Okay, I think I read that. Okay, are there any questions, any comments? You all, you can unmute.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Prophet Andrea. That was amazing. I just wanted to say it was just so, okay, Deborah said it too. This was so eye-opening. You took the words right out of my mouth. It really changes how we approach image and likeness. Because I think that when I look at that phrase, Christ in us, the hope of glory, it's so amazing because I think in religion, for me, it was Christ in us, the hope of emotion. And so when you begin to shift from glory to mind, to say that that means doxa in Greek, and it means mindset, I then began to connect the dots. Oh, so the hope is not in, like, the work is finished. So we know that. So we know that's not what the hope is in. The hope is not. like, in other words, we're not waiting for something to be finished is what I mean. Mm-hmm. So when you said that glory means mindset, I begin to realize that the hope is in increasing an understanding of what has already been given to us in the finished work. Absolutely. And so I just wanted to say thank you, because yeah, it was revelational and practical, because for a long time, when I see Christ in me, the hope of glory, the question becomes, what is the hope in? And most people, probably not here because we have New Covenant teaching, amen, but most people would probably think that the hope was in waiting for God to do something. And I'm just making the difference that because of this message, we now understand the hope is not, the work is finished. Yeah. So the hope is not in something to be finished. It's in increasing in the understanding of the glory of God that's already been given to us. So thank you.
Thank you, Dominique.
Amen. Praise God.
I'm glad that it conveyed, because I tell you, I could hardly hold my mule in trying to prepare the message. And while I was trying to share it with y'all this morning, I was like, Lord Jesus. Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyone else?
I'm trying to raise my hand, but I can't today. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm using my computer on my phone, and I don't know how to use this phone. Anyhow, thank you so much for this message. Huge blessing. Came in a little bit later, but 2 points really set in. I'm glad I caught this live instead of the replay. The first thing you said was that resonated deeply was in regards to God being in us. You were basically saying, like, if we haven't allowed him to be in us, Christ, the hope of glory, if he's not in us, then we cannot receive who he is in us. And I really, really hope that people were able to grasp hold of that very deeply. You can't receive who he is and wants to be in your life if you're not willing to let go of the old. It's impossible. So thank you so much for that. I just truly blessed me this morning. Thank you.
And thank you, yeah. Junior Tracy.
Praise God. Anyone else? Amen. Okay. Well, praise God. Amen. You want to share any final thoughts, Prophet Andrea?
Really? I mean, not really, because I can feel myself. My help done came on, y'all. So I'm laughing, but it's serious, because, you know, when we really reckon that he is in us and we really understand all that means, our daily living will look different.
Yes.
It will look and be very different than what it has been heretofore. You know, we will see different. Our entire perspective will be different, and we will move different. And so I just want to foot stomp the fact that, and just reiterate that you have to, and a couple of people in there sharing, they reiterated as well, you must make the exchange. And you have to do what's necessary for you to remind yourself of that. If you're in the midst of a heated situation, you need to call on Holy Spirit and say, help me make the exchange. If you're in the midst of trying to navigate something that is really difficult, whether it's on the job, whether it's with your family because of the close quarters and COVID and all these things that are going on, and you're trying to maintain, you know, relationship and you don't know how, just anything pertaining to all those things, you have the ability, and you should say, Lord, help me make the exchange, because what I've been holding on to has not produced what you need in my life, yes, and in the lives of others. Or if it has been producing, it has not been producing at the optimum level. See, if we got Christ on the inside of us, we need to have all that he is, not a fraction or a portion.
Yes.
So we must reckon that he is in us, and that the weight of that is everything he is there. And we can be successful in everything that we move out to do, because we're operating out of God's glory, his mindset, his power, his presence, all of those things. So I'm gonna stop right there.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we just want to thank each and every one of you for joining us on today. And we just pray that the fullness of Christ becomes even more evident in your daily lives, that you remove the mindset of him working in the four walls of a church building and really acknowledge that he is in us. Christ is in us. The hope of glory is in us. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So we just, Holy Spirit, we thank you for sealing this word in the name of Jesus in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to apprehend the understanding of the revelation and the teaching that has gone forth on this morning. Lord, we thank you that we will walk in the new covenant understanding of who you are on the inside of us. We thank you for the immersion of your word. We thank you, Father God, for the washing of the old and the exchange into the kingdom understanding of who you are in our lives, oh God. We just give you glory, honor, and praise for the newness and the freshness of your word. We thank you, Father God, that we will begin to implement and continue to implement this word in our daily lives, Lord, that we will pull on the strategic need if we have to have strategy, that we will pull on, Father God, the promises that you have in your word and be able to walk those out with the full hope that what you said is going to come to pass. Lord, we thank you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you for your dunamis power. We thank you for your Ahava love for us and the people. And we thank you, Lord, for the kingdom understanding that you have done it for all human beings, for all human beings, oh God. And we just love you and we honor you on today. And we just thank you. We just say thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. So you all, please don't forget to give and sow your seeds.